right, I'm on. Amen. I pray I'm on. Amen. Preacher needs to be on. Amen. It's good to see you tonight in the house of God. I appreciate the privilege to be here. I appreciate the privilege to have been here all the camp meeting from Monday night through to tonight. And it's been my joy and my privilege to be here, and I mean that from the depths of my heart. I've enjoyed the fellowship of God's people. The preaching of the Word of God has been such a blessing and an encouragement to my heart. I appreciate my wife was able to come with me this time. She'd been, I think, one other time some years ago, and some of you didn't know that I was still married. Amen? And so I'm glad she was able to come with me. And I want to say that I appreciate all the hospitality, the leniency, and accommodations that's provided for me, my wife, and for all those. And I want to say that. Yeah? Up a little bit. Now, I'm going to tell you something. My claim to fame is only loud and sometimes long. Amen. So I'm going to have to move it down. Amen. But I appreciate the hospitality of Fellowship Baptist Church and the blessings of God that's been here. I appreciate your pastor, Dr. Charles Enos, what a blessing he is, encouragement he is, and the things of God. And I love to see it when he gets happy, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. It blesses me. Amen. To know that the same God saved me, saved him, saved you. Amen. And the joy of the Lord, amen, can mount up in our heart. And we can rejoice, amen. And I'm glad we know and have learned that since we've been saved, that hallelujah is not a curse word.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Don't let folks rob it from us. Amen. Hallelujah is a good word. It ought to be heard in the house of God. Praise the Lord and glory to God. Amen. That's terms we know what we're talking about. We that are saved in the grace of God. I appreciate the privilege to be here tonight. And I tell you, I come with a lot of concern upon my heart as we look tonight, the last night of the meeting. You come to a time as this. We've heard preaching and all week, and God has moved, and hearts have been stirred, and folks have been on this altar, and how we praise God for that. When you come to a place like this, I think, and maybe you would too, you know, what can I say that would add anything to be of any kind of benefit in a meeting such as this? And you go through your mind, you sift through your Bible, and your preachers, you know what I'm talking about. You try to find the mind of God and what God would have you to say. I've already heard things this week being here that I wished I had said. Amen. You ever heard preaching like that? Say, wish I'd said that. Amen. And I thank God for the preaching the Word of God. I jotted down some things about the preaching we've heard, just some thoughts about we've heard, I think it was 9 messages so far, and this being the 10th message tonight. We heard on Monday night, you that were here, we heard a message, the first message concerning our position in Jesus Christ. We've been crucified with Christ. Amen. Nevertheless, we live. Amen. And what a message it was, and stirred my heart. It took my heart and mind to Christ. That's what preaching is supposed to do. Amen. And what a blessing it was. And then we heard a message about, and I think we all learned something about submission.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Lord help us. Amen. Brother Larry Brown. To have to follow Brother Larry Brown's a tough order. Amen. Praise God. I don't know if I got as much energy as that man. Amen. To run around like he did. But preached about submission. And I'm sure all of us learned something about him. Was encouraged and about submitting to our Lord and submitting one to another in the will of God. Amen? And we all need to learn quite a bit of that. God help us. And then we've heard preaching concerning Brother Doug Thompson preached on, I believe, Tuesday morning, a plea for God to revive us again. Amen? And boy, that ought to be the cry of our heart. For God to do it again. Amen? The psalmist said, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" Which presupposes that God had revived them earlier. And so it is with you and I. We need a constant revival, do we not? A constant moving of God. And our hearts are stirred. We've heard messages concerning the living sacrifice we're to be unto God. Brother Tondi preached about our hearts to be a holy place and sacrifice unto God. And how our hearts stirred. We heard a message, of a text that I haven't heard preached, and I just can't remember when, on the treasures of darkness. Quite an unusual text, unusual message, amen. But there's treasures in darkness. For you and I that are saved, not the darkness of sin, but the trials and the troubles and things happen in your life. And it seems like dark times for you and I. But God has many lessons to show us if we'll just be patient and wait on God and stay with God. When the trials come, it's not the time to abandon ship and run away. It's the time to get near to God. Pray and God give us wisdom. And I appreciate that preaching. We heard preaching that talks about honoring Jesus Christ as our Savior, amen, last night. And we heard about how we're to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing God wants to be done in this world is Christ to be lifted up and exalted. God help us to do so. And then we heard a message last night by Brother Larry Brown on change not. Amen. We're not to change. We that are independent, fundamental, King James, Bible-believing Christians. There's no need to change. Amen. And no need to change the Bible. And what a message. Amen. My heart was stirred. My heart was challenged. My heart was encouraged to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Mightn't you make you want to go home and go another mile. Amen. And God help us not to change. And then we heard a message this morning, you that were here, on the danger of delay there in Egypt's land when the frogs came, the curse of the frogs. And Brother Keita preached a message this morning about the danger of delay. God speaks to our heart, and as God has spoken to your heart throughout this week, God didn't speak to us because He wants us to do something next week. He's spoken to our heart because He wants us to respond to Him now. And no telling what God could do with us and for us and through us here in this building tonight if we'll yield ourselves to God. What a blessed message it was and challenge it was. And then we heard a message Brother Marvin West preached this morning, just as good as I've heard. Brother Marvin preached on the key to revival. Boy, we've got the key. And I thought about it. Brother Enos found that set of keys he's talking about, and somebody lost the key to revival. Amen. Lord, help us. Amen. That's Brother Marvin used the key, you know, illustration. And we have the key, amen, if we'll just seek God's face, turn from our wicked ways. Amen. And God's able to heal our land. God's able to bless in our churches. So we've heard preaching, and we've heard preaching from one end to the other, amen, of the Christian life and living for God. And I come to the place and I wonder, Lord, what in the world can I say tonight would be a help, a blessing to God's people? And this scripture's been on my mind, really. It's been on my heart since before we came down here. On the way down here, it's been on my mind all the time that I've been here. So I want you to turn to it. Isaiah chapter 12. And I want to read just 6 verses in this chapter. I want you to find your place there. And then I want you to find your place in Hebrews chapter number 11. If you will, hold your place there. We want to be in Isaiah. Read some verses here and trust that God would speak to our heart tonight. And here in Isaiah chapter number 12, is scripture here is speaking about, in its context, is Israel when they are, when our Lord has returned and the kingdom is set up. And this is talking about how it will be in that time the nation of Israel is restored to its glory and what God would have us to be. But I want to make application to you and I believe we can see it plainly here in this verses tonight. Verse number 1 of chapter number 12 of Isaiah. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, because all of what's stated in verse 1 and 2 is true, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His doings among the people, make mention that His name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. I call your attention to verse number 3 as the thought and text for the night. Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Let's pray. Father, tonight again as we bow in your presence, we do thank you for the mercy and the grace of God. Father, we pray, Lord, tonight God should speak to our heart. I ask, Father, the blessed Holy Spirit may arrest our attention and, Father, might be centered upon the Word of God. And I ask, Lord, that you'd help us tonight to preach as, Lord, we're going to wish we'd have preached when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Lord, I need you this hour. And, Father, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, you'd make the message and the Word of God alive and real in our hearts and minds tonight. And, Lord, eternal work would be done. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, tonight here in the scriptures, we've already mentioned, is speaking about in context, and interpretation of the time when God shall come, Jesus Christ shall return and restore Israel back to the land. And boy, you could go back and read much in the chapter number 11 of how it will be during the kingdom age, and Israel is there, and the Lord is ruling from the throne of his father David. And these atmosphere and these things will be going on, but also I believe by application, we see these things in your life and my life as a child of God. Note again in verse number 1, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, thou that wast angry with me. In that day, if you please, by application, that day would refer to the day that you met the Lord Jesus Christ, that you were saved by the grace of God. How many can remember that day? Remember the time that Jesus Christ convicted your heart and showed you your need for Jesus Christ, and you trusted him as your Savior, and God saved you and washed your sins away and made you a brand new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Amen. We began to praise God the moment that we got saved by the grace of God. Now, you may have been like me. You may not have had a Christian background, or when I was saved, I didn't own a Bible. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I couldn't have quoted John 3:16 if my life depended upon it. All I knew was the world. All I knew was sin. All I knew was everything that I knew grew up with and run around with. Everybody was just like I was, just in sin. And somebody began to witness to me and finally invited me to a tent revival meeting there at a little Baptist church that had been starting an old school building and dance hall building, and actually it had even been a Ku Klux Klan meeting building, amen? And a lot of things had been there, but this preacher got a hold of it and started an independent fundamental King James preaching church, amen? And they set up a tent out there from it and had a tent revival. I was invited. They only had 11 members. And I like to say to you, if you're here or others may, you know, that are involved in churches with small congregations in number, I like to encourage you, God can use you. Amen? That's right. Amen? And that church only had 11 members in it. The old building, when the wind would blow, the curtains would blow as much inside as the trees were rocking on the outside. I mean, just an old, matter of fact, it's fallen to the ground and rotted now. But they set that tent up, and I was invited to that revival meeting, my wife and I, and we went. And lo and behold, God got a hold of my heart, and I was saved on the very first night of that tent revival meeting. Boy, wasn't that a blessing from God? And then Wednesday night, in the same week, the same meeting, my wife was saved, amen, and God bless my home, and I thank God for that. And when we got saved, we began to praise God, amen. Now, praising God wasn't something I was accustomed to. I didn't know God. I mean, all I knew was the world and all that was out there, and I was kind of a leftover from the hippie world and in the 70s and late 60s and all in the 70s. That's all I knew. I was the world, but when I got saved, boy, I'd met somebody that I never knew even existed, amen? Yes. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and our hearts began to well up with praise, yes, and thanksgiving that God had saved such a wretch as I, that, yes, and amazed that God would even, yes, save me, amen? But thank God, he loves us, and he saved us and washed us in his blood, and we began to praise God. We might not have known much about praising God as far as terms and so forth, and I don't know that you have to know it, but in our hearts we begin to mount it with thanksgiving and gratitude for what God had done in our lives. And here he says, I will praise thee. Watch what he says. Thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away. Thou wast angry with me. Amen. When we understood we were sinners, and when we understood that we had transgressed and violated the law of God, and we understood that God is angry with the wicked every day. God's angry with sin. God loves sinners. God loves the world. But yet he's angry with the sinner, and he's angry with the sin. I believe sometimes we've forgotten that. And he said, if thou wast, aren't you glad it's past tense? Thou wast angry with me, amen, because of my sin, because of my transgression, because of my violation of the word of God. God was angry with me, and the wrath of God abode upon me because I was yet an unbeliever. But oh, when I got saved by the grace of God, the wrath of God was turned from me. Amen. It wasn't, the wrath of God was not squelched. The wrath of God, or the anger of God, was not appeased in salvation. The wrath of God was turned from me. What this book said, it was turned. God's still angry with the wicked. God's still angry with sin. Amen. And the change is not that God's not angry with sin anymore. It's God's not angry with me anymore. Amen. Praise God. He's not angry with the born-again believer. He's not angry with the repentant sinner that has put his faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. His anger has been turned from me, and I no longer am the target, although the vessel that would experience the wrath of God. Now we are a vessel, an individual, a believer that's destined to be conformed to the image of God's dear Son. Here his anger was turned from me. Thank God it was. And not only was his anger turned, but thou comfortest me. God was angry with me, but now God has become our comfort in this life. What about that? Isn't that something? Amen. The ability of God to comfort his children, comfort us in the matter of salvation, comfort us in the matter of eternity. And just whether you realize it or not, I've thought about it lately. You're going to die. We're going to leave this world. And we're headed to eternity. And if it wasn't for the comfort of the scriptures and the comfort of the blessed Holy Spirit of God as he makes real the word of God in our hearts and teaches us and grounds us and establishes us in the faith, we'd have so little comfort there may be worry and fretfulness concerning eternity in the graveyard. But because Jesus Christ has saved us and he's put his spirit within us, we that are saved are indwelt by the Spirit of God. Aren't you glad you don't have to tear around that altar somewhere and pray and cry and weep and beat on the altar for God to give you the Spirit? I'm glad when I got saved, God gave me the Holy Ghost, and I didn't know it was such a person as the Spirit of God. Amen. And he got in me. Amen. And little did I know, when I got up the next morning, amen, he was still with me. Amen. And he's in us. And he takes the precious word of God and speaks to our heart as we hear it preached, we hear it taught, as we read it, meditate upon it. The Spirit of God is our teacher. The Spirit of God is he that applies the scripture and grounds us in the faith till we can man up and say, I know that I've passed from death into life. I know that my sins are gone. I know that I have a home in heaven. Here he says, thou hast become my comforter. Thou hast comforted me. Thank God for that. The same God that was angry with me has now become the God that comforts me. The same word that preached to me and condemned me has become the word now that has set me free. Amen. Praise God for grace. Amen. Verse number 2. Behold, the word behold means stop what you're doing. Look what's being said. Behold, God is my salvation. What about that? God is my salvation. God is my salvation. Salvation is a person. Amen. Salvation is not a plan in the mind of God. It was a plan that God would bring it to pass. But salvation is not a prayer. Salvation is not deeds that we do. Salvation is possession of a person. And that person is God. The person of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's right. Amen. I think about, was it Simeon there in the temple when Christ was brought in to be circumcised in accordance to the law? Simeon there, the old man of God, the old prophet there, and he took that little baby in his hands and he said, "Now thy servant can go in peace, for I have seen the salvation of the Lord." Amen. What did he see? He saw a baby. He saw a little innocent baby. But that baby was God manifest in the flesh. That baby was divine, Son of God, wrapped in a body of flesh. And he is salvation. To know Christ is to be saved. Without Christ is to die in your sins and go to hell. Hear Christ. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength. Not only is he my salvation, but he is my strength. And my song, amen. He's my song, amen. He's the reason we sing, and he is the subject of our songs. And I thank God for the music that we've been hearing here in these meetings. Songs that exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and point our hearts and minds to Christ and enhances our worship of Jesus Christ. He is our song. Amen. The psalmist said in Psalm 40, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me." Amen. "And lift me up out of a horrible pit, set me upon a solid rock, established my goings, and gave me a new song. Even praise unto his name, many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord." Amen. And boy, there's a message there, the song of the saints of God. And I'm not preaching that tonight, but God put a song, and the psalmist said, many shall see it. Not many shall hear it, but many shall see it. See the song, amen. And when they see it, they'll fear God, and many shall trust in the Lord. And the song that God has given you and I is a song that's seen in our lives. It's seen in our dedication. It's seen in our zeal. It's seen in our devotion. It's seen in our worship. It's seen in our life lived for the glory of God. It's a song that's seen. He's become our song. He's become our salvation. I think I was preaching this past Sunday night in the church up in Virginia, and the pastor there, I'd known him. Really, I'd known him and his dad and family for quite a while. His dad's a preacher. I'd preached revival meetings for him some years ago. And this young man had gotten saved, I don't know, probably 15 years ago, maybe more than that, then surrendered to preach. And he's pastoring a church, has been there for a while. And I was there Sunday night, and I just went by to see how he's doing. And I went there, and he asked me to preach, and I was delighted to preach, amen. But before I preach, he gave this testimony, which was news to me. And I say this, not saying anything about me, I'm saying this to encourage you. You never know what God will use if we'll just be obedient and just serve God. He said, and I don't tell this everywhere I go, but I've done a lot of sheetrock work, amen, in my life. Amen. And he was working with a heating and air conditioning company. And I was in this house, residential section, a new house, and I was working on the sheetrock, finishing the sheetrock. And he was with the heating and air conditioning people, and he was there. And I knew him. He knew me. We spoke one to another. And really, I assumed he was saved. I didn't know. But I was. Now, I'm not a great deal of a singer as far as I'm about three keys. I'm like the fellow said about a piano, getting a pianist to match him singing. I don't sing on the white keys or the black keys. I sing in the cracks in between them, amen? And it's kind of hard to get there sometimes. But I was whistling. I whistle a little bit, amen? And I whistle a hymn, and I'm working and doing something. Well, I whistle a lot, amen? And I was whistling a hymn, and I don't know what it was, but I was whistling a song. And he said, now he testified to this. I mean, I had no idea. I was oblivious to any of this going on. But he said that God took that little song and the spirit of joy and contentment, even working on a hard job. And God, he said, God took that and smote his heart that he needed Christ in his life. And that's something. Amen. I mean, a little insignificant, we would call it something like that. You never know what God's doing with your life. Amen. What we think we know what God's doing, a lot of times may not even be what God is doing. And you never know the influence you have. God has become our song. Amen. You may not sing with talented voices as these have sung, but you have it in your soul. Amen. You can whistle, perhaps. Maybe you can't whistle, but you can live a life of joy that emanates the presence and power and the blessing of being received by the grace of God. Here he says, God's become my song. He also has become my salvation. Verse number 3, therefore, because all that's been stated about our experience of salvation, about God saving me and how he turned his anger from me, and we began to praise God, he became my strength and power to live victorious in this life, and he became my song of praise and the essence of our life. Therefore, because all of that's so, watch what he says. With joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Because all of the grace of God that you've experienced, because of the mercy of God, because our sins are gone, because we have eternal life, therefore we'll draw water out of the wells of God's redemption for days further to come. And I believe what he's saying to you and I tonight, that salvation, the experience of trusting Christ, and the initial experience of the grace of God being born again, is just the beginning of what God wants to do and will do in our life as we live for him and yield to him and let him mold us and make us into the vessel under his honor. And we draw waters out of that well. I'm glad God's given us a water bucket. Amen. Amen. We can drop it down in the well. Now, some folks, you don't know what I'm talking about, a water bucket. Amen. It hadn't always come out of that little faucet when you lift that lever. It hadn't always been that way. Amen. And God's given us a water bucket, if you please. And that water bucket is the bucket of faith that we can drop down in that eternal well of redemption, that unexhaustible resource of God's redemption and grace and mercy, and we draw up from that not only salvation, but we draw up from that well beyond salvation, strength and mercy and grace to grow and to be and develop into what God would have us to do. Amen. Amen. Now, with that being said, turn over, if you will, to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I want to look quickly tonight, as God would help me. And a man by the name of Moses, verse number 23, I want to begin reading. Moses, quite an unusual man. The Bible says he's the meekest man upon the earth. An unusual man. Now, the name Moses, and I don't have time to go into Exodus chapter 2 and all and go there. I just don't have time tonight to do that. But the name Moses, it means to draw out of the water. That's what his name means, to draw out of the water. And Pharaoh's daughter is the one that named Moses, Moses. And she called him Moses, and you know the story, because she got him out of the water of the bulrush, and his mother had fixed a little ark of bulrush and pitched it and put slime on it and put it in there so he wouldn't drown. And you know the story, Pharaoh had already ordered all the male children of the Israelites to be slaughtered and killed because he was afraid that they were outnumbering the Egyptians and they would rise up in insurrection and they would rebel and take over them and destroy their kingdom. And so he said, I want all the male babies killed, drowned, thrown in the river. His mother took him and put him in that little ark of the bulrush and put him there and hid him among the reeds in the sea there in the river there. And then Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe and such. And they found the little baby there, and she drew it out and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. And she brought it out, and she happened to be a little damsel there, which happened to be Moses' sister. I thought about our brother last night preaching about the providence of God. Amen. And it happened to be one, and no doubt she was there. She could possibly have been the one. I don't know how old she was, doesn't say, but she was Moses' older sister. And maybe she was the one that helped take the little basket down and put it in the river. Maybe she was, I don't know. And maybe the others had moved on and she lingered around her little baby brother there, just a few days old. And looks like his fate will be that he'll die. And she's just hanging around, and Pharaoh comes with her maidens and attendants, and there they find it, pull it out, and they say, well, this is one of the Hebrew little baby boys and a proper child, and boy, I think I want to keep it. And so the older sister that's there, unbeknowing to Pharaoh's daughter, says, would you like for me to go get one of the mothers of Israel to come and nurse this child for you? And she said, yeah, that's a great idea. Amen. You go do that. Amen. And Moses' sister went and got Moses' mama. Amen. Well, tell me providence now. Amen. And brought Moses' mama there to the palace to nurse this little baby, her own baby, to nurse and grow that child up, amen, until his weaning age, amen. Moses and Pharaoh's daughter named him Moses because she drew him out of the water, amen. And you and I that are saved by the grace of God, we draw out of the water of the wells of salvation, amen. And I believe we can learn some things from Moses about what it means to draw water out of the salvation of God. Not just to be saved, but to draw out of the water of the wells of salvation, that we become a mature child of God, a vessel fit for the master's use. Here, Moses, his name means to be drawn out of the water. But here in verse number 23, I want to read these verses here and come back and point out just a few things tonight. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. This that happened here, in verse number 23, in relation to Moses, Moses had absolutely nothing to do with. He was just the object, he was just the recipient of the kindness and love and blessing of his parents and the faith of his parents. And they kept him, and for 3 months they hid him out, and then they put him in the basket and hid him, put him there in the reeds of the river, and there because he was a proper child. Verse number 24, by faith, Moses. Now we begin to deal with Moses, the person proper. At verse number 24 again, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse number 24, can I say to you, I'm talking about drawing from the wells of salvation. I'm talking about drawing upon God's grace after I'm saved. After I'm born of the Spirit of God, since I've been saved, drawing from the wells of salvation. Are you listening to me tonight? Friend, salvation is wonderful. Amen. Is that right or not? Somebody pinch somebody, throw a songbook. Amen. Salvation is wonderful. Amen. And the work of the church is to go into all the world and preach the gospel, that sinners like me and like you could hear the glorious story and repent and be saved by the grace of God. But that's not all the work of the church. That's not the total sum of the work of the church. But we are to be edified. We are, the Bible says, to go in the world, all the world, preach the gospel. And he also says, teaching them. Those that are saved, amen, we're to teach them to observe all things. What I said, Jesus said those things. Amen. So salvation, just seeing somebody saved and experiencing the mighty salvation of God, it's not all of it. Amen. That's just opened the door. That's just brought us to the place that we could be able and have access to God, that we might develop into what God really intended for us to be. And here Moses in verse number 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, note this now, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I find here that Moses is drawing water out of the well of salvation. And right on down through here, verse number 24, 25, 26, and then into 27, that these things that Moses did, he did in Egypt's land. Are you with me? Amen. And if you go back and read it, and I stand to be corrected, but I've reread and reread, I don't find the Bible stating that God spoke to Moses until he got over in a Gentile land. And there in the burning bush, God called him aside and said, take your shoes off, you're on holy ground. And God spoke to him. Amen. But in Egypt, so you don't find it stated that God spoke to him. But I want to say to you tonight, you can rest assured that God had spoke to Moses or he had never done what he done. Amen. Moses is a beautiful picture, and I'm not preaching on this tonight, of a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He came to his own there. You remember he stood up, and here in this verse is talking about faith. Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. When he came of years, when he became mature, he refused to call. And you know the story there. He went out to visit the Hebrews, and there was an Egyptian. There was taskmasters over them, and they were slaves in Egypt's land. And one was harshly treating one of his Israeli buddies and relatives. And Moses slew that Egyptian and buried his body in the sand. Amen? And he did that because he had learned and been convicted of who he was. But as the type of Christ, lady, he comes back and his brethren are arguing amongst each other. Amen. You ever known anything? Brothers would argue amongst one another. And they're I don't know what happened, it doesn't say, but they're fussing. Moses comes up and says, "Why are you doing this?" And they said, "What are you going to do, kill us like you did that Egyptian? Huh?" And that just as a picture and a type of our Lord, he came to his own, but his own received him not. They said, who's made thee a prince and a judge over us? And so they rejected him. Are you with me? And so then Moses leaves them and flees the land just as Christ came. And the Israel rejected him and said, we'll not have this man to rule over us. Crucify him, crucify him. And Christ died. Now, in God's plan, it was settled before the foundation of the world that Jesus Christ would come and die on that cross on Golgotha's brow, shed his divine blood, and raise again the third day. Humanly speaking, it was Israel that demanded his death. It was religious Israel, the Pharisees, blind guides of Israel, that demanded the death of Jesus Christ. He left them. Are you with me? He died and rose again. 40 days later, he ascended. I'm talking about Moses, the type of Christ. He came to Israel and they reject him. Who's made thee a prince and a judge over us? And he left them. He left Egypt and he left them. He went away. Are you with me? As Moses went away. Amen. And when Moses went away, he wound up in a Gentile land. You listen to me? Amen. And while he's in that land away, he partakes to himself a bride, amen, that Gentile land. What about that? Amen. Just as our Lord has done, rejected by his own people, he's gone into the world and he says he took him a bride of the strangers of the land, and God has made himself a bride out of the Gentile dogs that we are, even outcasts and strangers from the covenant of Israel. But yet God has called in the rejection from Israel while he's away from Israel. He's making up a bride. Amen. If you read on further, next, I don't have time to go there tonight, but you'll find the day come when God showed up at the burning bush, spoke to Moses, and Moses told Moses to go back, and you'll find that it says Moses got his wife together and his son. What about that? His bride is producing fruit. You with me? The church, amen. And when he goes back to deliver Israel, goes back to the second coming of Christ, when he comes back in great power and great glory, he'll come back to Israel and he has a bride with him that they didn't know anything about. Amen. And friend, when Jesus Christ come back to this world, I'm not talking about the rapture. I'm talking about 7 years after the rapture, the end of the tribulation period. Jesus Christ comes in great power and great glory back to this earth, Revelation chapter 19. And we, the bride, will be coming back with him. And he'll destroy the Antichrist and destroy the enemies of Israel. He'll establish his kingdom. He'll sit on the throne of his father David. And we shall rule and reign with him 1,000 glorious years. Amen. Moses is a picture, type of Jesus Christ. But when Moses became of years, when Moses being a born covenant Israelite, but when he came to years, he recognized and realized who he was. He recognized his birthright as a child of God. Oh, friend, you and I ought to draw some waters out of the well of our redemption. Enough water out of the well. Amen. You know, Jesus talked about the water, did he not? Jesus said, I'm the water of life. Amen. He told that woman at the well, he said, this water that I'm talking about, it'll be in you. A well springing up unto life everlasting. Amen. Well, it'll spring up, and we can draw out of that spiritual well to the place that we can gain the courage, amen, to identify ourselves in this world of lowland of sorrow and sin and rebellion. You and I that are saved, we can come to years, we can grow up to the place that we will identify ourselves as Christians and live a life that there'd be no question marks about. Here he come to his age and he come to years and he realized his birthright. He'd been raised in Pharaoh's palace. He lived in the lap of luxury. All of his relatives, his dad, mom, and sisters, well, and all of his relatives were slaves. They were out working in the slime pits, making bricks, building the cities of Egypt. While he lives in the lap of luxury. But it came a time he drank enough water out of the blessed well of God's amazing grace that he said, I cannot sit here. Oh, we'd have revival in the house of God and some of us dead Baptists. Somebody ought to say amen. But drank enough water of this blessed word of God and allow the Holy Ghost to fill us up that we identify ourselves. That's been old time fundamental Bible believing Christians. Amen. He identified himself. He had the conviction of his identity. You that are saved in the grace of God, do you have conviction of who you are? Amen. I don't believe you have to wear a t-shirt that says I'm a Christian. I'm not opposed to that. I mean, if you want to wear one, but I don't think you have to do that. If you're saved and walk with God and full of the Spirit of God and live an obedient life to this Bible, everybody around you is going to know something is distinct and different about that person. Amen. And we can find courage to refuse to be identified with Egypt in this world and identify and assume our identity with the people of God. Secondly, if you will, look at verse number 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Drank from the wells of God's water of redemption, drew water out of those wells of God's grace, and he found out who he really was. He wasn't the old man, as our dear brother preached Monday night. Praise God, he died. We're not that old man anymore, but we're a brand new creature in Christ, and began to identify himself as that. And then further, he drank and kept drinking water and drawing water out of that well until he gained the wisdom to choose correctly in a world that's confused. He said, verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He gained the wisdom from the grace, the well of God's grace, not just to save him, but he gained the wisdom to learn how to choose the real riches from the bad riches. Make the right choices in life. God can help us, amen. We can make excuses. Well, it's just the world we're living in. Jesus said, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. We that are saved in the grace of God. And I don't believe we'll ever justify ourselves before God, passing off our carnality and worldly ways, trying to say it's the day and hour in which we live. It's the worldly day. Things are so worldly and so bad. And I'm well aware of how bad it is. Amen. But I'm also well aware of how powerful and how good our God is. I don't believe God's died, do you? I read an article just the other day, the man that started that back in the 60s, that God is dead. That man died the other day, probably a week, 2 weeks ago. The man died, his old man, and he died. Started that, and the hippies picked that up. God is dead, and they protested the war, and they protested this and that and the other. God is dead. And while they screamed that God is dead and blew their minds with drugs and dope and overdose and died, and that one, the gang leader that said God is dead and supposed to be some kind of a scholar, and now he's died and he's found out that God's not dead. Yeah. God's very much alive. Amen. I don't believe God's dead. I don't believe his power's diminished. I don't believe God fought any more Paul and James and John and Titus and Silas than he does you and I in this world. Amen. That's wicked and ungodly and unbelieving. But I believe if we drink enough water out of the well of salvation, we'll have wisdom to choose right in this world. Have a heart for God. The wisdom to choose correctly. He chose the way of holiness. Look, he said, choosing rather to suffer affliction. What about that? He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, most of the time when we think about the pleasures of sin for a season, and season is just a short period of time. The pleasures of sin for sin. Most time when we think about that, we think about, you know, somebody's out drunk, they're painting the town, they're living the party life, and boy, they're just doing it all, and they're living the pleasures of sin. But I said that to say this, Moses, as far as we know, he never drank anything. Wasn't a drunkard. The pleasures of sin in Moses' life was to keep his mouth shut, stay in the palace. He'll be the king in Egypt. Are you with me? He grew up for 40 years. He was in that palace. And all he had to do was keep his mouth shut. All he had to do was never identify himself with God's people, the slaves. And he could have benefited from their slave labor, building him cities and building him mansions. And he could have lived in the lap of absolute luxury in that day and hour. He had everything that money could buy in that day. He had everything when he snapped his finger. Servants moved. But he come to years. And he found out that I'm one of God's children. I'm one of the covenant seed of Abraham. And he began to identify himself as one of God's children. And in identifying himself, he chose to suffer. Reproach of Christ. And I read that and boy, I'm amazed. We're talking about Moses in Exodus chapter number 2, 3, 4, and 5. And it talks about the sufferings of Christ. He chose to suffer the Christ and suffer the people of God. He chose rather to suffer the afflictions of Christ. We know that Christ wasn't born till Mary came along. Huh? Are you with me? But this Bible said that he chose to suffer the reproach of Christ in verse number 6. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. He's dealing with Jehovah God. Are you with me? In the Old Testament. He's dealing with Jehovah God. But this Bible said he esteemed the reproach of Christ. What about that? That tells me Jehovah God and Christ is one and the same person. Amen. Amen. That's one God. Amen. Jehovah the Old Testament is Jesus Christ of the New. Not two gods, but one. Amen. But he chose, he had the conviction to choose correctly the way of holiness and purity before God. Oh, that God would let us drink enough of the water, the Word of God. Turn the television off. Somebody say amen. Quit filling our minds up with soap operas and your minds up with books and literature and pornography and junk off the internet. Amen. Filling your mind up with the filth of this world and the bongo beat of this hellish music of this world and filling ourselves up. Oh, that we would drink more of the pure water of the Word of God that we could get the good sense to say no. No, I'll not listen to the music. I'll not dress like the world. I'll not go to where the world goes. I've drawn some water out of the wells of salvation. I'm going to heaven, but I'm going to do more than going to heaven. By the grace of God, I'm going to live for him now. Now, amen, now, right now. If you're going to live for God, you better live for him now. You're going to live holy and separated and dedicated to God. It's now. It's now. It's now. He drew enough water to have wisdom to choose correctly the way of service and sacrifice and obedience. Amen. He could have kept his mouth shut. They had the Lexus in the yard and the big $500,000 house. Come on, talk to me. Living in the lap of luxury. He had servants everywhere. Amen.
But he yielded to God and gave himself to God. And if you please, in the world standard, began to live like a pauper and live like a stranger and a pilgrim in this world. I read in the Bible, that's how we're supposed to be living. Book of Peter, as a stranger, as a pilgrim in this world. Don't set your roots down too deep. Amen. Everything you've got's going to burn up.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm convinced every last one of us, when we see him, we're going to wish we'd have given him more. We're going to wish we'd have given him more. Wisdom to choose correctly. He drew enough water from the well. Verse number 27 says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He drew water from the well of salvation. He availed himself of the grace that's available that not only saved him, but developed him. Are you with me? Developed him as a child of God. And he drank enough water that he come to the place he had the boldness to forsake Egypt. That's something. Amen. Not only the grace to save, and he got grace enough courage to identify himself, and this thing builds and it grows, amen, one day at a time with the growing the grace of God. And then as he grew to the place he chose to identify himself with God's people, then he grew to the place that he had the wisdom. God taught him enough wisdom to denounce some things and give himself to some things, and God taught him and worked in his heart boldness finally to make that step. Not just to say it, not just to cry tears around an altar, not just to wear the carpet out to the altar, but he gave him boldness to get off the altar and do what God said do. Boy, we'd have revival in the house of God if we'd do what God told us to do and what we know we ought to be doing. God help us. Amen. He had boldness. Watch him in verse number 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt. By faith he forsook. Faith brought action. Amen. And it always does. Faith brought action. Amen. If we believe God, we'll practice what he said. Everybody else say amen. No, this means yes. This means no. Amen. Believe, he believed God. And faith brought action. He forsook Egypt. He left the world. Egypt, a picture and a type of the world. He left this world and all its fancy. He left this world and all its thrills and frills. He left this world with its luxury and its ease and its compromise. He left all of that. Faith made him forsake Egypt's land. Oh, God help us to get out of Egypt. Here also it says, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Faith brought action. Faith brought also peace to his heart. He drank enough water, I'm talking about, of the well of salvation, that he got bold in his spirit and he left out of Egypt's land, not fearing the wrath of the king. God gives peace. Amen. God gives peace. Not only peace in salvation, but God gives peace in service. Amen. God gives peace. God gives assurance. God gives stability as we launch out to do what God wants us to do. I preached a message one time on Gideon's bowl of water. Amen. And there, you know the story well, there in the book of Judges, how that he prayed and asked God to let the dew be on the fleece and on the ground and not on the fleece, and the fleece be dry. He prayed that the first night. And he got up the next morning, lo and behold, and God had answered his prayer, and the Lord had allowed it to be dry on that fleece, but dew was heavy on the ground. But Gideon, like us Baptists, amen, God had answered his prayer, but he said, Lord, I want to make sure the devil didn't do that. So he said, tonight I want you to do the opposite. I want it to be wet, dew on the fleece, but I want it to be dry everywhere else. Lord, can you do that? He went to bed next morning, he got up, and sure enough, that fleece was wet. That fleece was full of water and the ground was dry. He had his answer. The Bible said he wrung that fleece out to a bowl full of water. Amen. Now I'm telling you, there's a message there, and I don't have time to preach it tonight. Now you listen, but I'm saying something. His answer, he wanted his water on the fleece. He didn't need a bowl full of water. Why did he catch that water? Why did he catch that bowl of water? Why? I want to say to you, when God gave him the instructions to attack the Midianites and God began to thin the ranks, had too many at 30-some thousand, said you need to get rid of them. Got down to 10,000. He said, well, you go to the water hole and see how they drink water. And those that don't get it down, lap it up like this and keep an eye around surroundings alert, then you keep them, the rest of them, you get rid of them. And he got down to 300 men. And he's going against the Midianites. And they're like grasshoppers for multitude. Don't you know that midnight, God sent him out to spy the land. He took one of his men with him. I believe he had that bowl. Began to look at that bowl, reassured him, rubbed that bowl, and said, God, I asked you to give me water on the fleece. And this is the bowl I caught that water in. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. God gives the boldness and assurance for you to step out and do what God's told you to do. It may be boldness at the job place. It may be boldness at the schoolhouse. It may be boldness in the family. But God will give us boldness if we'll drink enough water out of this well. It'll mount up in us and we'll find boldness to stand for God against the odds. We'll stand for Him. Moses had peace, not fearing. Then also faith brought perseverance. Watch 1 Corinthians 7 again. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. He endured. Perseverance. He endured. Boy, he wasn't interested in getting right with God for a day. Amen. He wasn't interested in getting right with God for just a camp meeting a few days or just a week of revival or just for a month. He wasn't interested in just doing the will of God for a little while. He was in this thing for the long haul. He meant business, what he was doing. And he was making life-changing decisions having drank that water. Amen. And absorbed that water. And fed on that water, was strengthened by that water. And finally, he got to the place he endured. He persevered. He kept on keeping on. Oh, I believe one of the greatest attributes of a real child of God is faithfulness at the things of God. Whatever God gives you to do. Faithfulness to live for Him. In spite of the opposition, I must hurry. Look for again, verse number 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt. Not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Faith, I'm talking about boldness to forsake Egypt. Faith, by faith he forsook. Faith worked in him and brought a vision to Moses that the rest of them couldn't see. Seeing him who is invisible. Seeing him by faith. He endured. How did he endure? He just had great stamina. He had great personality. He had a great foundation. And boy, he could just tougher than the rest of them. And he kept on. No! He endured. How? By seeing him. That's invisible. By his eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. His eyes and heart focused on the will of God, what God would have for him to do. He endured and pressed on and obeyed and became the man God wanted him to be because he could see Christ and his will. Oh, he didn't look around him. Amen. You look around you and you'll get disappointed. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but friend, you'll disappoint me and I'll disappoint you. We won't live up to each other's expectation all the time.
Amen.
Amen. A lot of times people get in a fantasy world and think, boy, that everything is just, everybody just gets along fine. But I'm telling you, sometimes that's a clash. Boy, it's quiet, crap.
Come on. Yeah.
Sometimes you let somebody down, maybe unbeknowing. Sometimes you don't live up to somebody else's expectations of you. And sometimes others don't live to your expectations of them. And we get let down. Friend, you look around and set your eyes on people. You're going to fall by the wayside.
Amen.
Oh, friend, if you look above the congregation, look up toward heaven, and you can see Him. If you read this Bible, read it till you see Him. Read it till you see Him. Read it till you hear His voice. Read it till you hear Him speaking to you. The end goal. God shall help you and God shall sustain you. You listen to me? He saw him by faith. Last of the night, he drank water, drew water out of the well. The point that the enlightenment to some of the details of the Word of God. Verse 28. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. Through faith he kept the Passover as he drank water out of this well. And as a newborn babe in Christ, we desire the sincere milk of the Word of God, that we may grow thereby. In your Bible. And Moses drew this water and gained strength from this water, and he learned about the eternal redemption that's in the blood. He learned, amen, from the Word of God. He wasn't saved temporarily. He wasn't saved on probation. But he learned that the blood prevails, and the blood's sufficient, and the blood of Christ prevails in heaven. We have eternal life. He learned some further details about what God had done for him. Amen. Drinking the water. And we learn things. He learned some details about the eternal security of the born-again believer. Amen. Thank God I'm glad I've got eternal life. Amen. The devil couldn't get me. If he tries, he can't get me. I'm hell-proof and heaven-bound. Amen. And you are too if you're saved by the grace of God. That's right. Amen. Hallelujah. You said, preacher, you're boasting on yourself. No, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I'm a nothing and a nobody. And if I got what I deserve, the just recompense of the reward, the deeds done in my body, I'd go to hell. I'd have no alternative but hell. But I'm not going to receive that. I've received the blood. I've received His Son. And I'm hid with God in Christ. Now I have eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ, not by anything I've done or will do, but what He's already accomplished on the cross of Calvary. As He drinks the water, the Word of God, He learns about the blood of Jesus Christ. He saw also in verse number 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. We're talking about enlightenment. He learned, he understood, he saw something. He learned the eternal redemption in the blood, but also, at that Red Sea, Moses saw the supernatural, miraculous power of God manifested in this earth. Not in heaven, upon this earth. He saw God do great and mighty things. Amen. Come to the Red Sea, and the children of Israel said, surely we'll die. He said, stand still. Same God that spoke to me in that burning bush. Are you with me? Amen. Sent me back here with my Gentile bride. Said, we're going over to Canaan's land. Amen. Well, the Red Sea stands between them. And it's not the Reed Sea either, by the way. Amen. And there are several million Jews that have come out in the midnight hour in the pitch of night. They've come out and spoiled the Egyptians. They had no food. They had no way to sustain themselves if they made the journey. Yet they obeyed the voice of God's servant and they came out. Now they've gotten to the Red Sea and the armies of Egypt is behind them. And they said, what shall we do? We've led us out here to die. He said, you stand still. And the waters of the Red Sea parted asunder. And that's something. I mean, well, wouldn't you like to just been there? That water parted asunder. And boy, and don't get in your mind that God just, you know, made a little narrow pass, maybe 5-6 foot wide as the hallway around the building. God just maybe 10-20 foot wide. Friend, there were several million Jews that had to cross. And the pathway that this Bible said they went on dry ground. No mud between the toes. On dry ground. In the bottom of the sea. And it spread that they probably marched across at least 5,000 abreast. As they marched across, God did no little thing. God did a mighty thing. Marched across on dry land. He saw a supernatural thing. He saw God reveal His hand, reveal His power in a way that many did not see. Why? Because He drew from the water. followed on, drank the water, believed God, passed all, did what God said do, and yielded to God, separated from the world, and lived holy and esteemed the riches of Christ, greater riches than the Egypt's land. And he saw the mighty hand of God move. Amen. Many other things we could say about Moses as he walked on across the desert land to Canaan's land. Moses drank from the water. Now, how are you drinking from the water? Now, I thought about the camp meeting this week, how that we've heard, and I mentioned some of the preaching and all that was done, how that we've been fed and watered with the Word of God, and we ought to be drinking in the Word of God. Amen. And not only in this camp meeting, but Sunday after Sunday and Sunday school and Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, meeting after meeting, and your personal daily Bible reading. We're absorbing and drinking the water. How are we drinking and receiving the water of the Word of God? Isaiah said, with joy. With joy, we'll draw water out of the wells of salvation. Now, I'm glad God's given us a bucket of faith, that we can drop it down in the artesian well of the Word of God and draw up buckets of water to help us and sustain us in this dry and thirsty land. What a God we have, what a salvation we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Pastor, if you'll come.